Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from Psalm chapter 100, Pastor Gary reminds us that thankfulness is one of the great keys to life. When we choose to shout joyfully, serve gladly, and worship thankfully, we unlock joy and contentment in our hearts. God is good. His mercy is everlasting. And he's worthy of our praise. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Psalm 100. Whether you're feeling happy this morning or whether you're feeling sad and overwhelmed this morning, all of us are expected to do one thing the same, no matter how you're feeling, no matter what your week has been like. Do you know what that is? I'm going to show it to you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to turn there quick. Keep your finger in Psalm 100. We're coming right back there. But I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this is not meant to be some sort of a heavy-handed command to you. I don't think God is saying this in order to somehow make things hard on you. You know, like, you know, things are going hard in your life anyway, and God's saying, I'm going to make this even harder. I'm going to make you try to give thanks. I don't think that's what God is doing here. You know how sometimes you're just having a genuinely rough day and someone comes along beside you and says something like, turn that frown upside down, you know, and the only thing you want to do is wring their neck. All right, that's not what we're talking about here. God is not adding additional weight to you when he says this. In fact, God is prescribing what I think is a medicine for your soul. When God's word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, it is meant to be a medicine for your soul. So let's talk about that from Psalm 100, and that's where I had you turn a minute ago. Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So the first thing that this text says very simply is it says, shout joyfully. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is quite a beginning, and it literally means, the words themselves mean shout joyfully to the Lord. We use a bunch of different terms to express approval in our languages. We use words like wonderful and fantastic and awesome. I grew up in the skateboarding craze of California. We said things like that was rad and gnarly. We even have Christian terms like this, sort of Christian lingo, spiritual terms, and we get them right from the Bible. Amen, and that's sort of one of these words. Literally, it means, I agree, may it be so, amen. Or praise God, or hallelujah. We sang hallelujah this morning. These are Christian terms or Bible terms. In our cultures, we often clap as an expression of approval. In fact, if you're really moved sometimes, we stand up and clap, right? We give a standing ovation. So, what are all these things? Well, they are shouts or their verbal expressions of thanksgiving. And God says to all the earth dwellers, he calls us out. He says, shout words of joyful approval to me. Don't hold back. At certain times, God does these things that we just can't keep quiet about. And I think the psalmist says, then don't. When I was in seminary, Faith and I had a little 5-speed Toyota Tercel. I was in seminary full-time. Faith was working downtown in the financial district at a bank, downtown Minneapolis. I was also working about 25 hours a week, and we still were just barely making it. And so as soon as it got into the summer months in Minnesota, that's not very long, but there's a few months of summer, and I started, that first year, I started mowing lawns as well as all the other things that we had going on just to try to make ends meet. And I didn't have any equipment except I bought a Lawn Boy lawnmower and a trimmer, and I hauled it around in this Toyota. So I did that for a few weeks, and then it wasn't very long till one of the customers that I had asked if I'd be able to bag the grass and get rid of it as well. Faith didn't think I should put it in the back seat. So our pastor, Doug McLaughlin was our pastor, and he volunteered a little 8-foot trailer that I could haul, except I didn't have anything to haul it with except the little Toyota. So I put a hitch on the back of this little Toyota, and I hauled the equipment that we had to mow these lawns, including, I just load it down with grass clippings. I mean, this trailer just loaded down with grass clippings. I'd bring them out someplace and I'd dump them in it. I didn't realize that the engines of Toyota Tercels were not meant to haul things, especially heavy things like that. And so one Sunday morning, I came out after church, and this little car was parked in the parking lot. And I don't know if somebody showed me or not, but I noticed that there was a little puddle of something underneath the engine of this car. I drove it home. I probably shouldn't have even done that. We live just a couple blocks away from our church. So I drove it home, and by the time I got home and parked it, I mean, there was a lot of oil underneath the car, and I walked up to a little convenience store just a couple blocks from our house, and I got some oil, and I brought it back. I poured in 5 quarts of oil in the vehicle. I'm not a mechanic, but I knew that wasn't a good sign. And I closed the hood, and I got in the car, and I turned it on. And by the time I got out of the vehicle and came around to the front, those 5 quarts of oil were on the ground underneath the engine already. I mean, just that quick, just right through. And it's sort of a funny story, but Faith and I were just very discouraged by that. I remember that afternoon just being, I don't know what in the world we were going to do. We walked down to church that night and came back. And we had no money. We were both working as much as we could, just, living in a very inexpensive apartment. We were just squeaking by, trying to go to seminary and, trying to do the things that we needed to serve God in that time. I was just really discouraged by it. I remember calling my dad that night just before we went to bed, and I told him what happened, and he said, Gary, you're going to have to decide. It's probably a cracked head gasket. You need a new engine, and you're going to have to decide whether somebody could fix it or, probably replace the engine, or whether you just need to get a new car. And I just was discouraged, very discouraged. And we didn't have any money. We had no idea what we were going to do. And I talked to my dad, hung up the phone. Faith and I went to sleep. In the middle of the night, 2 a.m., our windows were open. It's in the summer. And I woke up to a screeching and squealing of tires about a block away and a revving of a car engine. And I was loud enough that I could hear it coming, and I heard this engine coming down our road faster and faster, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. Then all of a sudden I hear a crash, and then very quickly after that, another crash. And I jumped out of bed, and I don't do very good in the middle of the night when I'm not awake, you know. And I jump out of bed, and I run to the window, and I realize that I forgot my glasses. I can't see anything without my glasses. So I ran back, and I get my glasses, and I go back to the window, and I look down, and I know that there's a big crash out in front of our house. And so I told Faith, and I run downstairs, and I go out into the road, and my neighbor is there. Actually, my neighbor's son is there. He had been right there. And I stood in the road, and I looked at this car. Actually, the driver was gone. The hit and run. He had driven his car and smashed it into the back of my little Toyota and smashed my Toyota into the back of the car in front of it. It's just like an accordion. Zoop. In the middle of the night in North Minneapolis, I stood out in the middle of that street with the biggest grin you have ever seen in your life. And if you can imagine a Baptist seminary student dancing in the street, and my neighbor was so upset. He was so mad. We'd smashed into the back of his car, and his car was all upset, and the guy was gone, and I was like, hallelujah! And I'm telling you, in times in our life, when God steps into our world in a way that there's just no other way, that it's anything but God. And by the way, did I tell you that we had insurance that covered the whole thing? Did I mention that part? And Faith and I can tell, you know, lots of stories, and you could too, of different times and seasons of your life when God has stepped in such a clear, powerful way that there's no other explanation to it than that God is just caring for you. And in those times, we ought to shout joyfully. And I think that's what it says. Next, the psalm says, action number two, he says, serve gladly. Serve the Lord with gladness. A healthy sign of a thankful person is one who serves and enjoys doing it. It's not a chore. It's not some kind of a cross that they have to bear. I mean, they really sense this privilege of being able to serve and to serve God. You got to write this down somewhere. There are few things that do a better job of driving ungratefulness out of your life than serving God and serving others. If you want to get rid of that ungrateful spirit that just weighs you down, there's not much more significant things that you can do than serving God and serving others. So look at two things about this service. This text tells us who we are to serve, and it tells us how we are to serve. The who is the Lord. In fact, you'll notice in your scripture that it's in small caps, L-O-R-D. It's not just in the regular type. It's in small caps. Anytime that you see this word written in that typeface, in those small caps, it always refers to Yahweh or Jehovah. It's a very specific way in your Bible that this is written. So Yahweh or Jehovah. So when we're doing God's work, we are serving Him. Not the church, not a pastor or some ministry department leader. We're serving God. And it also tells us how we are to serve. It says we are to serve with gladness. This kind of service is not out of obligation. It's not out of loyalty to anyone or anything. It doesn't, or at least it shouldn't, come from guilt. It's with gladness. It's not just talking about some type of work on the building, or service is not just working in the nursery or being an usher, or serving in children's ministry in some way, being in the choir. I mean, it's not just that. We've got serving of encouragement and fellowship. And when you offer fellowship to someone else in the church body or somebody else that's in our community, when you offer this as a gift, this is serving God. Hospitality, opening up your home for people to feel like they have a place to connect. And and giving and discipling and sharing your faith and bearing each other's burdens. These are ways that we serve each other, and these are ways that we serve God. And what the psalmist says is all of these, all of this service is to be done with hearts of gladness, sort of this service with a smile, a heart smile, because we're serving the Lord. There really is something to this spirit of joy that happens when we serve together. So can I ask you this morning, as you evaluate your life, are you characterized by gladness? Do you smile a lot? I'm not saying that there aren't times when we have sadness and even tears. This is part of the scope of life, ups and downs. But in general, as you look at your life, do your eyes show a joyful spirit within you? Take a look at the guy in the car next to you on the road. When you're sitting at the stoplight turning left, this is when you can really see it, and in front of you, somebody else is turning left, and you know, you go driver's side to driver's side. Just watch people's faces as they drive by. Nobody's smiling. In fact, you see somebody smiling, you think, man, what's that guy's problem? Listen, the Christian life is not to be this way. And again, we're not talking about fake. We're not talking about plastic, putting on something that's not real. But if you're having trouble being thankful, I'd encourage you to spend some time serving others. It is amazing what that kind of service does to your heart. I'd like to encourage you to spend some time this week thinking about how you can serve someone else in our community and meet their needs with your family, or if you don't have immediate family with you, with some friends. I think it's really helpful to do it together with others, but spend some time thinking about how you can practically serve others in our community. Those of you with younger children, maybe get your kids involved in determining what you're going to do as a family. Maybe something here at church, or perhaps it's visiting a nursing home or someone that doesn't have family. I don't know what it is. I think we ought to think creatively, but I'd encourage you to think seriously about serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. So what if you say, man, Pastor Gary, I get it. But sometimes, or maybe right now, it just feels like all my service is out of obligation. A lot of serving that's going on. And I'm guessing there's probably some here that right now that are saying, man, I get it. I know I want to serve, and I am served, but this whole idea of serving with a joyful heart and not just out of obligation, I'm really struggling with that part right now. Might be a lot of reasons why you feel this way, but I think that question leads us to this. Here's the third thing. Worship thankfully. Shout joyfully, serve gladly, and worship thankfully. The end of verse 2 says, come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think it says worship thankfully. And the psalm mentions three specific ways to worship thankfully. I think the end of verse 2 says when we are singing. I really think God cares about how we sing. When we approach God's presence, it is to be with this joyful singing that Psalm 100 talks about. It is an awesome, awesome thing to stand together in the congregation of the saints and lift up our voices in the way that we do. And I'm just telling you, belt it out. Singing like that does something to you. This ought to be the best part of your week when we have the opportunity as a church family, as a congregation, to sing and to sing joyfully. There are reasons why we sing the way that we do here at Harvest. There are reasons even why we sing what we sing. You probably noticed that we sing some familiar old songs, and then we sing some new songs that maybe aren't as familiar but express some of the same ideas about God. It's intentional, sort of the mix of the songs that we sing. These old songs, so many of them are so rich and express some of the big ideas about God and our faith. In a lot of ways, I think they connect us to the generations of Christians who have gone before us. And I think that's a good thing. To sing together as a congregation songs that other generations of believers before us have sung, and you have this sort of connection intergenerationally within a church, different people, different generations singing the same songs that are familiar to us. They connect us together. And we also like to sing some newer songs, sort of fresh expressions of our faith. But here's what I know. Our worship, our singing should never be boring. And it should never be thoughtless. Our worship should be filled with theologically rich and spiritually moving and musically beautiful testimonies of our spiritual walk. Can I say that again? Theologically rich, spiritually moving, musically beautiful testimonies of our spiritual walk that express our spiritual heritage as well as these current expressions of our faith. You ought to have a sense that Jesus called us to worship in spirit and in truth. Truth-filled, doctrine-centered, but spirit singing and worship that moves us. That's what music in the church should do. So truthful worship, the text tells us, when we're singing, when we're thinking. Real quick, verse 3 says, "Know ye not that the Lord, He is God? It's He that's made us, not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture." God designed you in exactly your shape. And we're all shaped differently. Everybody here, everybody in this place, we're all shaped differently. And you may want to be in just a little different shape than you are right now. And your personality and your strengths and your weaknesses, there was no mistake. And maybe there are some here and you've not thought through this idea of God made you, God created you, you are His, and you are exactly what God intended for His purpose and His glory in and through your life. And not only did God design you, but He's caring for you. Verse says, just as a shepherd cares for his sheep. Go back and read Psalm 23 again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He feeds me. No matter what you're facing this morning, God cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. God's got this. He's caring for you. What incredible motivation to worship God thankfully. When we are singing, when we are thinking, and when we are praying, verse 4, just real quick, the gates and the courts, I believe, refer to the temple. For David, that was the place that he approached God's presence. So these gates and courts gave access to the presence of God. David says, when I approach God's presence, for you as a Christian, when you pray, we are to enter with thanksgiving and praise and blessing his name. And then verse 5 is great. I mean, the psalm says there are many reasons that God deserves your thanksgiving. There's so many reasons why we are to shout joyfully and serve gladly and worship thankfully. And here's three of them that he lists in verse 5, because God is good. I mean, God delights. He takes great pleasure in doing these things which are best for us. His way is always perfect. Sometimes in the middle of certain circumstances, we have a tendency to ask some questions. But after we've been through that issue and we've been able to gain the perspective of time, isn't it great to look back and say, man, God is good. And not only is He good, but His mercy, His loving kindness is everlasting. Most of us have experienced God's mercy in very real ways. In spite of the mistakes that we've made, in spite of some of the failures that have come into our life, God's mercy, His loving kindness is everlasting. He just continues to shower His love in an everlasting, everlasting way. And for that, I'm telling you, every day we ought to say, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can trust Him because His faithfulness endures to all generations. Paul made a list of a number of signs that will accompany these last days. I don't know if you might remember that, but this list of proud and immoral and people that don't keep their word and they hate those who live right, the religious hypocrites. It's a long list of people that would be in the last days. But right in the middle of that list of all of those harsh, heavy concepts that would typify people in the last days is this word, he says, and they would be unthankful. Boy, it's sure easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? Thankfulness is one of the great keys to life. If you miss everything that we've talked about this morning, I hope that you'll grab this and take it home with you. Thankfulness is one of the great keys to life. It's like a master key that unlocks the rooms in your heart and in your life that are filled with fullness and joy and contentment. There are those places, and if you're not experiencing them, it's likely that it's attached to a loss of thankfulness and thanksgiving in your heart and in your life. But the thankfulness that this psalm is talking about, it's with our whole hearts. It can't be shallow. It can't be frivolous. It can't be superficial. But it is this deep expression of a soul that genuinely loves God and a soul that says, with my whole heart, I give thanks.
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.